This is week number two in our Who Are You series. We're talking about understanding our identity. Last week we began talking about somebody in the Bible named David. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's kind of popular. He's a big figure among Scripture. And David is just a tremendous example for us. So the purpose of taking the journey that we're on right now is for us to understand our identity and to be able to confidently say, I know who I am, I know why I am, and I found my place. I think those are three questions that a lot of people can't answer. And, so many people in this earth, when we look out and we look into our community and we look into the world and we see all the confusion and we see all the brokenness and we see all the hurt, it really comes down to this, is a lot of us don't really understand who we are. We don't know why we are. We don't know the point of us. And we don't know where we belong right now. And those are some key questions I think that all of us have to answer at some point in our life, in order for us to make any sense of this thing called life. Amen? We have to be able to say, I know who I am, I know why I am, and I have found my place. So last week we began by drawing comparison with the life of King David. Obviously, King David is a very important figure in Scripture. Obviously, Jesus came from the line of David. So David, we can draw many life lessons. What I love so much about David in Scripture, and one of the things that just kind of draws me to him, and why I tend to teach on him a lot. You ever just read the Bible and you just tend to identify with somebody in the Bible? Do you guys ever have somebody like that? That you just like, you're like, I get that person. They make sense. David, I get. He just makes sense to me. And all his brokenness and all of his flaws and all of his, and those are the things that tend to stand out to me more, is not the times when we talk about David having it all together. It's more about the times when you watch David figure it out and kind of see where he's going. So last week we began talking about David, and David is a perfect case study for understanding identity and its connection to destiny. Because how many of you believe that you have a destiny? That's a word we throw around a lot, isn't it? We throw around the word destiny a lot. But the truth of the matter is it's you'll never find your destiny until you know who you are. So instead of searching for your destiny, you need to search for your identity. You need to figure out who you are first, because, you know, it's kind of like your destiny flows from who God created you to be. It's not like one day you just fall into your destined purpose by accident. If we're going to get there, we got to get there on purpose. Amen? You guys okay? All right. So in understanding our life's purpose, we must learn to kind of traverse the waters of thought relative to three different stages of life that I want to talk about today. We have to ask ourselves these questions. Are you ready? If you're going to write this down. Where have I been? Anybody ever figure that out? Where have I been? We have to know where we've been. We have to ask ourselves, where am I now? Are you aware of where you are today? Are you that tired? Where am I now? And when I say that, I don't mean necessarily your actual physical location, although that is important to know where you are. But where am I now in life? And then the third question, where am I heading? Where have I been? Where am I now? Where am I heading? And I think that's questions that we have to constantly ask ourselves. You know, these are not things that we answer at one time in our life and move on. How many of you know that these things are changing and evolving and moving as we age and as we grow? The where I've been changes day by day. Come on. The where I am now can change. And the where I'm going, though, well, how many of you know, depending on what I do with yesterday and today, that can change too. So it's important for us to know where we've been, where we are now, and where we're heading. We have to have a direction of where we're going. So I want to start first and foremost by addressing, and I don't, like I said, it's not a long message today. It takes what it takes. If we get out of here early, we get out of here early. Is that okay? I figure it's more important to get the message across than to fill time. Okay? First one is we have to start with, where have I been? We have to talk about our past. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 32 through 36. They say this, "Don't worry about this Philistine," David told Saul. "I'll go fight him." "Don't be ridiculous," Saul replied. "There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth." But David persisted. "I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats," he said. "When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death." Man, I love David. "I have done this to both lions and bears." See, in some worlds, that's called an idiot. "And I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this guy." Amen? See, each of us has a history. Some of us have more. Some of us have less. But all of us have history. All of us have a past, and who you are today is owed in large part to where you come from and what experiences that you've had in life. Maybe you know your experiences inform you. Your experiences develop you. Your experiences shape you. Right? How we steward our past, and I want to use that word very specifically because that word is steward. Right? When you say steward something, we understand that stewardship is different than ownership. Ownership means it belongs to you. Stewardship means it's been gifted to you to look after for somebody else. Do you understand even your past has been given to you to look after for the cause of Jesus? Come on. You know your life, you're stewarding your life. It doesn't belong to you. Come on, wake up. You're stewarding the hours and the minutes and the moments that God gives you. You're stewarding even the memories that you have of the past. And they shape you. Yes, they develop you. How we steward our past, whether by either reconciliation or by celebration, can be a launching point into purpose. What do I mean by that? You either have to do two things with your past. You either celebrate it or you reconcile it. How many of you know, some of us have some things in our past that need to be reconciled, brought into a balance, brought into account, amen? How many of you know, though, even in our past, we have some moments that we celebrate, right? How many of you know it's good to remember and celebrate the good things of the past? Yeah? That's good. But we can't get trapped in the past. Come on. We can't just live back there. How we steward our past, either by reconciliation or celebration, can be a launching point into purpose. See, listen, we know that God redeems our souls from sin. Does everybody believe that in here? Does everybody believe God redeems you? He saves your souls, right? But I want you to know this too. God also redeems your past experiences. Let me say it this way. God will redeem your past. He won't change it, but he'll redeem it. He'll bring purpose to it. Amen? He doesn't just redeem the good experience, but especially the bad ones. Especially the negative ones he redeems. Amen? So how does he do this? By using those experiences to cultivate character in us and to develop gifts in us. If you've been through something hard, if you've been through something challenging in your past, let me tell you what in God's hands, that can be fashioned for purpose. That could actually be used to equip you for purpose. Come on. It may have been painful. It may have hurt. It doesn't mean God can't use it. He can shape it in such a way that your past now has a strengthening point into your future. Come on. Yeah? God redeems it. He can actually develop gifts that you would have never even known you had you not been through some troubling experiences in the past. It's something about trouble that teaches us something. I think we learn more through adversity than we ever do through times of peace. Can I tell you something? This isn't in my notes, and this is how we get past our time, but... You know, it's when you begin to think of the past and you begin to think of the way that God has saved you and the way that God has held you, even in the most difficult of circumstances, the most difficult of moments. It's amazing to me that God can take those painful things and turn them into purposeful points of growth in our life that we would have never experienced otherwise. Let me tell you something, God will test you. How many of you ever prayed this? God, are you testing me? Yeah? I'm going to tell you something right now. God will test you. But I want you to know something. He's not testing you because he's trying to find out something about you. He's testing you so you can learn something about you. Amen? He already knows. But when the moment of testing comes, it's a learning point. It's something that when we get to learn about who we are. Come on. It's something we would have never known about ourselves until we went through that moment. You know, I know, young people, I want you to know something. You're gonna have wonderful lives. I believe that in Jesus' name. But you're not going to have carefree lives. You're going to have moments of testing and struggle. It's going to be okay. Can I tell you that? You're going to get through it. And if you will submit those testing moments to God, you will be so much more prepared for what's to come in the future. David only fought a giant because he fought a lion and a bear first. Okay? So don't freak out when the lion shows up. I mean, unless it's a real lion, then freak out a little bit. You know what I mean? Don't freak out. Just trust God. Amen? By the way, don't freak out when the lion shows up. All right, guys, listen, coronavirus ain't going to kill us all. Too soon? It just seems to me there's always a reason to panic in this world. We got to trust God. We have to trust God. Amen. All right. I should get back on notes because I stay out of trouble that way. But God, what he does is he uses our negative experiences from the past. And how does he do this? By using those experiences to cultivate and develop gifts and character within us. And these experiences teach us lessons that can't be learned any other way. I think of any seasoned person of us in this room, I think all of us would agree that the greatest lesson we learn in life are not in the classroom and they're not from secondhand knowledge. Right? Go to class. You know, people ask me, what did I learn in college? How to survive. I remember very little. Amen? But how to survive. You know, you learn by firsthand experiences. Most of life's important lessons are learned through firsthand experience. You got to go through it, right? Life's tests are sometimes very tough, but they are extremely effective. And the way we pass these tests is by cultivating character, by developing the gift or learning the lesson that God wants us to learn in that moment. Listen, if you want to get through challenge quickly, learn the lesson quickly. Right? Quit going around the mountain. Because the view's not going to be any different. When we find ourselves going through moments of testing, learn what you need to learn and move on. Amen? If we learn what God is teaching, then no matter the result, you have not failed. I like to say it this way, each wild animal that attacked David was a pop quiz for Goliath. It was a test for, it was a preparing for Goliath. How many of you when you were in school loved pop quizzes? Right? They always did it on the day like you never expected. That's why they're called a pop quiz. You know, teachers would pull that out and they'd smile evil and wicked as they did it, right? Pop quiz. But see, that's kind of how life works, isn't it? All of a sudden, something shows up one day, and we got to figure out how to deal with it. You guys okay today? But this is how we redeem time, by allowing God to take those moments from our past and to develop in us character and gifting for the future. See, to redeem means to buy back or regain possession of. Amen? He regains possession of those past experiences and does what, you know, we see in Romans 8:28, which is this. You have that scripture for me, guys? Everybody should know Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. Amen? What is that scripture telling us? All things work together for good, right? All things for those who love God. So that means this. If you love God, then I don't care how wicked of a hurt you have in the past, all things. How many of you know that even your past hurts are part of all things? Come on. All things work together. You're telling me that one of the most painful experiences of my life can work in conjunction with the hand of God to produce something good? Yes, that's exactly what I'm telling you. All things work together. And that's what it says, isn't it? It doesn't say all things work separately. That means even the challenging past experiences that you have never took God by surprise. He actually planned for it. Did he make it happen? No. Did he cause it? No, you probably did. Or some other person did something terrible to you. It doesn't mean God can't use those past hurts as part of his plan. You guys okay? That doesn't make God callous. That makes God creative. Amen? In the hands of God, every past experience is preparation for future opportunity. It's all about making this exchange, my past for his future. Right? It's the great exchange. I give God all my past, all my hurts, all my victories, everything that I am. I give it all to him. Right? And he takes it and he gives me a wonderful future. A future that he has prepared, that he has thought through. Amen? Amen? Isn't that awesome? You guys okay today? You know, in moving forward in ministry, I look back on the road and I can see times in my life how my past, our past, Karen and I's past have shaped us for this moment. Even all the times where I messed up. And it seems to me that it's especially those times that I messed up that set the stage for future victory. Isn't that weird how God does that? Man, I think I get something so broken beyond repair, yet God somehow can fix it and makes it work. It's just amazing to me. Amen? Amen. So we've got to be able to handle the past. Also, we have to be able to handle the present. The present. 1 Samuel 12, chapter 17, verses 12 through 15 says this. Now David was the son. I'm going to read it what I have here. I have a different version, but you guys just follow along here. Now David was the son of a man named Jesse, an Ephrathite from Bethlehem in the land of Judah. Jesse was an old man at that time. It seemed unnecessary to put that there. And he had 8 sons. Jesse's 3 oldest sons, Eliab, Abinadab, and Shimeah, had already joined Saul's army to fight the Philistines. David was the youngest son. David's 3 oldest brothers stayed with Saul's army. But David went back and forth so he could help his father with the sheep in Bethlehem. You ever felt like you were in the wrong place at the wrong time? Maybe you feel like that right now, right? But you have to put yourself, well, that was ominous. But you have to put yourself in David's position. In chapter 16, Samuel comes and anoints David king. Just one chapter before this, David had been anointed king. He knows he's going to be king. Right? He's been told he's going to be king by the prophet Samuel, who when Samuel shows up on the scene, something like people get scared when Samuel showed up. Like, why are you here? And Samuel shows up. He had so much clout. He had so much power behind him. And he anoints David as king just one chapter before. And then here's David stuck watching sheep and playing delivery boy. And he's sitting there going, I'm supposed to be king. Of course, his moment had not come yet. But he knew that there was something on his life. You ever felt like you were destined for something? You had something on your life, yet you're stuck on the backside of a hill watching some sheep or playing delivery boy while everybody else is getting all the glory? And here was David, forgotten, seemingly passed over. Amen? Was he forgotten or was he being preserved? Was God keeping something from him or was God keeping something for him? And that's important to distinguish. Amen? See, if I'm David, I'm saying, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be king. Shouldn't I be learning how to be a warrior? Shouldn't I be on the front line? Shouldn't I be in the commanding men right now? Shouldn't I be? How many of you spend so much of your life saying that? Shouldn't I be here? Shouldn't I be there? You know, I'm 40 years old. Shouldn't I be here? I'm 50 years old. Shouldn't I be doing this? I'm 60 years old. I should be here. We spend so much time saying coulda, woulda, shoulda. Come on. Right? And while it seems like David was completely unprepared for Goliath, he was actually being perfectly prepared for Goliath. See, when it seems like David was at a disadvantage, he was actually holding the advantage. Come on. See, no one was beating Goliath hand-to-hand at combat, especially David. Remember, we talked about that last week. But see, God was changing the rules of engagement. And guys, I'm going to tell you right now, the delay in the field was just a disguise to prepare the winning strategy. Your delay can maybe just be a disguise for God to change the rules on the field to your advantage. Amen? Don't despise your delay. Maybe it's not a delay after all. Maybe it's a setup. Come on. Yeah? It's called a divine delay. Sometimes God will make you wait while he prepares the pieces on the playing field. Come on. Because listen, David had no business being on the front line because the rules were different then. But see, Goliath, that was the moment. And David was perfectly prepared for that moment. He was ready. But see, God had to set it up for him to be able to walk onto the field. You guys okay? See, sometimes in God's wisdom and mercy, he will delay us from our destiny. And while it seems like David was initially in the wrong place at the wrong time, he was actually perfectly positioned. And what I want to tell you today is this. Maybe you are being perfectly positioned and not delayed. The next time you start thinking, you know, we should be here or we should be there. No, maybe we're just being positioned correctly. Come on. You know, there's so many times even in ministry where I'm like, well, you know, as a church, we should be here, we should be there, and then God has to remind me, we're exactly where we're supposed to be right now. And that's all we can do. You guys good today? Amen. Last one I want to talk about here in just the next couple minutes is the future. Michelle, would you come? I'm gonna go ahead and close in just a few minutes. The future. How many of you know the future's coming, whether you like it or not? How you steward the future matters. How you steward the past matters, how you steward your present matters, and how we steward going into the future matters. Amen? I would bet if I could take an honest poll, and you know what I mean by an honest poll, one where actually people would be honest. But if I took an honest poll in here today, I would guarantee you if I asked who's afraid of the future, I guarantee you some hands would go up. Some of you may be bold enough to be honest about it right now. But there are times where I think the future's coming and we feel entirely unprepared. Yeah? But there's nothing we can do to stop it. I'll tell you right now, there is nothing you can do to stop the future from coming. All you can do is put it in his hands. Amen? See, the future is about allowing God to put together the pieces. What pieces? The pieces of my past, the pieces of today. he puts together to fashion this thing called the future that takes us into a place that he's calling us to. It's connecting the dots, so to speak. And the privilege about getting older is you get to see more dots connected. See, you guys remember when you were a kid? How many of you did connect the dot pictures? Yeah? Do you guys actually remember connect the dot pictures? I just want to be sure here. All right. Make sure we didn't have Siri do it for us. Okay. But you remember when you were a kid and you were doing connect the dot pictures? Nothing made sense when it just looked like a whole bunch of dots on the page. Right? I used to like the really complicated ones when I was a kid, you know, that like had like hundreds of dots on there. But nothing made sense when you looked at the page. It wasn't until you started connecting them in the right order, the right dots in the right order, and all of a sudden the picture begins to take shape. Have you ever done one of those connect the dot pictures and you got the dots out of order? Anybody ever done that? And you have to erase it and you got to start over because all of a sudden, and when the dots are being connected out of order, when they're disjointed, it doesn't make sense. See, the picture doesn't make sense when it's just the dots, and the picture doesn't make sense if it's disjointed. The picture makes sense when things are put in order as they're supposed to be. And then as we do that, as we begin to connect the dots, all of a sudden you begin to start seeing a picture take shape. You start to recognize something. You can begin to see the outlines. And you know, when you remember the excitement of when you started, maybe you don't, I don't know, but you'd start and you'd be like, I wonder what it's going to be. It could be anything. And you're trying to guess what it is even before. Right? And you're like, okay, but all of a sudden what happens, it starts to become something you recognize somewhere along the way. Oh, I think I know what it's going to be. I think it's going to be a duck. I'm very excited about this duck. It's going to be the best duck I've ever drawn. It was especially good for me because I have no artistic ability. I can barely draw my name. So for me to draw this duck, I don't care that I had to connect the dots. We're going to get a duck. And so here we are, I'm just connecting. And then all of a sudden you begin to start see take shape, take order. And I kind of equate that to that point where it's like, listen, we're not quite there yet, but we've lived long enough for us to see God begin to put things in order. And you know what's wonderful about that? Is it gives us hope for what he's about to complete in us. We begin to see it take shape. And we may not see the final picture yet, but we know God's going to do something good. Amen? Right now, I think there are some of us, our lives are disjointed, our past is a mess. We don't quite know what's going on right now. We barely can keep our head above water in this moment. And you're saying, how can there possibly be any future? Well, I'm here to tell you today that if you will go ahead and reconcile your past in the hands of God. Listen, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter how you failed. I'm going to tell you right now, it doesn't matter how negative your experiences are. In the hand of a loving God, he can turn those things for your good. But I'm going to tell you right now, until you reconcile the past, until you reconcile the past experiences which have helped make who you are, you will never be able to make sense of the present, let alone the future. So we got to start there. We got to put those things in God's hands. And in the present, what we have to do is we have to begin to steward our moments according to God's plan and purpose. What would God have me do today? So you may feel like, you may say, Pastor James, I'm good with my past. I've put it in God's hands, but right now I'm having trouble making sense. I'm over here just waiting. and it doesn't seem like things are working out. Well, maybe you've not, you know, maybe it's not that they're not working out. Maybe it's that God's positioning you. So maybe right now in the waiting, God is getting you prepared for something. It's okay. Let him do what he needs to do. Because at the right time, you're going to have to step out on the field and face Goliath. But you don't want to go out there too early. Come on. And you don't want to go out there unprepared. You want to go out there at the God-appointed time. Amen? He's not keeping it from you. He's keeping it for you. And if we will do these things, I'm going to tell you right now, we can move with confidence into the future. We don't have to be afraid. Those of us who say, I'm afraid of what the future holds, I want to tell you, don't be. Well, what if there's trouble ahead? There might be. I can't guarantee you there's not. Nor would I lie to you and try to tell you there isn't. But what I can tell you is that if your history has taught you nothing, let it teach you that you and God can get through it together. Amen? And that it's all going to end up right where God wants it to be. Amen? You guys okay? Let's stand.